Okay, guys, so we have a lot of great books out there, movies, shorts, stories, and we all like to listen and watch in our downtime when we're trying to look for that break. And we're also looking for some stimulation of things that are weird, creepy, strange. Maybe it's a psychological mystery that we just want to figure out. Either way, it does something to us. But what about those things that are just too true for us to really take in and absorb? I'm talking about the real things that have been caught on film that actually did happen. They were a part of our real lives in our past, and they are disturbing, not invigorating. These kinds of things can get to us in a very strange way, in a way that makes us maybe regret getting into it at all. These things are just too odd. Are you ready to see some things that you just can't unsee? Stick around. That's what we're going to look at today. Before we get started today, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have two channels, A Stranger World Than Fiction, and we also have They Call Me the Ghost, A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. Secondly, we have They Call Me the Ghost, and that is where I, the ghost, share a lot of my on-the-job experiences. And don't forget to check out our podcast. So if you are into all things strange, outrageous, crazy, and mysterious, and you like them in story format, that's what we do here, and you're in the right place. Okay, let's get to it. Our history is saturated with creepy photographs that vary from supernaturally disturbing to mysteriously intriguing, all the way to straight up terrifying, from ghosts to horrifying historical artifacts and haunted locations. We're going to look at 12 creepy photos today that, like I said, you just can't unsee. And first up, this is something that, in general, I can't say that no one's doing it because we do live in a big bad world. It's not really customary at the moment in time to do this, but people took all kinds of photos post-mortem. For example, in Victorian England, it was a regular thing to take post-mortem photographs and preserve the image of a family member after they had died. And this post-mortem photography became common in Victorian England when the rise of the early photography coincided with the short lifespans of all people. They were also known as memento mori photos, meaning remember, you must die. That's not really a great thought to start out with. But as photography was still rare at that time, the death of a family member was often the first time a family really considered even taking a portrait. They did this to commemorate the dead and to have an image of the deceased. And it could have been the only image of that person at all. And we all know that's very different than times today on a few levels, right? How about this one? A shadow is all that remains of a man who was incinerated by the atomic bomb, Hiroshima, 1945, if you can believe it. When the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Japan, that was August 6th, 1945, do not forget, it incinerated humans so quickly that shadows of them were left imprinted on different surfaces. The photo I'm showing you today is a human shadow etched in stone. It depicts a man who sat on a flight of stairs outside of a bank in Hiroshima, Japan. He was about 800 feet away from the atomic bomb when it detonated. He was so close to his detonation point that he was essentially vaporized. This sort of shadow is also known as a death shadow. Pretty creepy. How about in the United States? Some people might remember this. This was back in the 50s when the United States government actually used to make fake towns and they would fill them with mannequins for nuclear testing. If some of you have seen this in movies and maybe are too young to understand what that all is, here you go. That's what that all is. I mean, sometimes real life can be scary enough without the supernatural. In the mid-1900s, in order to test the impact of an atomic blast on populated areas, technicians would create these fake towns, and they called them doom towns, in the desert of Nevada, and then they would blow them to smithereens. In fact, the U.S. dropped a 16-kiloton bomb on one of them to determine if wooden-framed houses, cars, and the mannequins in place of people could actually survive a nuclear blast. Glad we're not really doing that anymore. It is pretty creepy, isn't it? Oh, how we love the times of progression. How about the French neurologist, Duchenne de Boulogne, he who pioneered the use of medical photography in his experiments? Duchenne was researching the electrical stimulation of the muscles, and he used photography to accurately illustrate his findings. The photographs that came from his experiments, well, they look like the patients are undergoing some form of torture, really. Not exactly some sort of medical help. There are still many odd things happening in the medical world today, but this one is behind us, at least in the way they were doing it. How about William Hope, a pioneer of spirit photography, even way back in 1920? He took this picture of a couple and alleged there was a female spirit around them. Do you see it? Of course you do. Is it real? That's up to you to decide. William Hope had a goal, and it was to capture ghosts and spirits in his photos. He later became a medium, and families that wanted to get in touch with their deceased loved ones, they would sit for his photographs with the hope that maybe their dead loved ones would visit and be captured in the photographs. And let's face it, this concept in its entirety is not all the way dead in today's world. Okay, well, in 1963, we have more ghosts. This picture, titled The Spectre of the Newby Church, was taken in England in 1963, and you can see what made it interesting. When Reverend K.F. Lord took this photo in 1963 inside the Newby Church in North Yorkshire, England, it was met with, as you can probably guess, a lot of skepticism. Many believed the apparition was merely the result of a well-done double exposure. How we Photoshop everything out there these days and use filters? Well, double exposure was its thing back then. However, Lord maintained that the spirit in this photo was real and that the photo itself was never doctored. Do you believe that? All right, well, speaking of photos, we have Sybil Corbett. She took a photo in a library, and it seems to depict the late Dord Cumbermere sitting in his favorite chair. Okay, well, as the story goes, amateur photographer Sybil took this hour-long exposure of an empty library at the same time that the Lord Cumbermere's funeral was taking place, and that was only 4 miles away. However, the apparition that appears to be sitting in the deceased Lord's chair is suggested to be the actual Lord himself. The notion that he returned to his library so quickly after his passing is a nice one, and some people just readily accepted it. The picture I'm going to show you next here is not unlike one I recently shared with you somewhere else, but this is the interior of the Capela dos Ossos in Portugal, and it's made up entirely of human bones. While this place in Portugal looks like a normal chapel from the outside, the inside is covered entirely with human bones and skulls. Built in the 16th century by a Franciscan monk who wished to transmit the message of memento mori. Remember those pictures? The Latin phrase that means, remember you will die. The Capela de Ossos contains nearly 5,000 human skeletons that came from nearby cemeteries. So that means they were buried and then they were exhumed to be put in this structure. This chapel also includes two desiccated corpses that are hanging from the walls by chains. And the creepy thing is, one of them belongs to a child. And I don't know about you, but seeing that child there would definitely creep me out. How about a fetish market in Togo that sells talismans related to voodoo magic? Check this out. The fetish market in Lomé, Togo is the largest voodoo market in the world. So those of you in the United States who think everything's happening down in New Orleans, check this out. This carries all the supplies needed for various charms, rituals, and it has stuff from human skulls all the way to dead monkeys and even armadillo skin and parrot beaks. While some may find this market unsettling, to say the least, voodoo is a religion that's often misunderstood. Again, we're listening to a lot of what Hollywood tells us. We only can know what is given to us and what we learn. So if all you've seen are creepy movies like Skeleton Key and those kinds of things, maybe this will change your idea of voodoo, because many think it's violent. But voodoo actually believes that every creature is divine, alive or dead, and that there's both a visible and invisible world, and these are connected. Now that belief just in itself is not something that is too far out of bounds for people like us, is it? In voodoo, death just remains transitioning to the invisible world. You're just going from one to the other, but you remain present in the same spirit. How about the Museo de las Momias, a mummy museum in Mexico? This contains over 100 remarkably preserved mummies. And this is interesting because when we think of mummies, do you think of Mexico? I'll just leave that right there. The Museo de las Momias came to be after a grave tax, of all things, implemented in 1865. It caused the city to dig up any bodies related to family members who couldn't pay for it in an effort to extort them. That's pretty grim, right? Because of the dry conditions of the soil, when the bodies were dug up, they were incredibly well preserved. And the city decided to keep the mummies in an ossuary underneath the cemetery, just in case loved ones could eventually pay the grave tax to rebury them. So this is all about money. And this is what I mean. A great thing can always turn ugly when greed comes in. This is a great example of that in our real lives. The horrible practice didn't even end until 1958, so this went on for a while. And by then, the ossuary had gathered enough mummified, disinterred bodies to become an actual museum. And now it's a popular place, albeit slightly distasteful. But tourists, they'll flock to anything, and they're definitely going there still today. And since we're on bones and skeletons and things like that, I'm going to leave you with this. A boneyard of skeletons that was dug up from their graves in Havana, Cuba. And it became a popular photo op for, again, tourists. And in this case, even American soldiers. As was common in overcrowded cemeteries at this time, the cemetery in Cuba had a policy of digging up skeletons after 5 years if family members, again, couldn't pay for them to stay buried. The cemetery would dump the bones in a boneyard, which eventually grew to be about 30 feet deep, and it became a popular tourist destination. And after the Spanish-American War, what is thought to be two American soldiers, they were photographed playing with the bones. And that's what you see here. So I just have to end this today by saying a couple of things. One, these historical photographs really show us what was going on back then. And we're so used to photographs today and movies and videos and all this stuff coming at us with so much information that in today's world, we actually lose patience if we can't find something fast enough, right? That's the truth. That's how most of our online behavior is overall. But back then, we had these photographs, and it's kind of all you get, but it still tells us a lot. We can study them and learn about what was actually happening back then. But my point that I want to leave you with is, what's interesting is we look back on the people of our past, and somehow we have this idea that they were so much better than us, that values were held closer to the hip, that we were more involved in our own personal lives with our families and things. And a lot of that is so true. But we can't glorify the past by thinking like that all of the time. There were a lot of things that people did which show us basic human nature. Tourists are very disregarding of what they're looking at. People that go exploring oftentimes steal things from sacred places. And when you become a tourist in an area, somehow it turns humans into this type of person that disregards all of their surroundings. Almost as if you're on vacation, the area you're in means nothing to you. You're there for fun and everything there is to provide you fun. We sometimes forget what actually happened before we got there and what we might be looking at in the first place. So I want to leave you with that, because the next time that you're able to travel and maybe go to a place where there is something that happened in the past, maybe keep this in mind and treat it with respect. And instead of tagging, taking, stealing, and ruining the things that were there to look at and see and learn from, We can actually go there and observe and try to picture ourselves in a time back then. Who knows? You might walk away with a more meaningful experience. Well, thanks for listening today. I appreciate you being here, and until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.